Going to read several different passages this morning. If you'll turn with me first to the prophecy of Haggai, we're going to read verses 1 through 9 and verses 20 through 23 of Haggai 2. These are the third and fifth prophecies of Haggai. In the seventh month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do ye see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, O ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. And then, going on to the end of the chapter, to verse 20, again the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 4 20th day of the month, saying, Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. From there, we turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. Those references or prophecies of Haggai are quoted here in Hebrews 12. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. And finally, turning to Revelation 6, we read the last part of that chapter, beginning with verse 12. Revelation 6, verse 12. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. Places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captain and the mighty bond man and every free man hid themselves in the dead fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The text is Haggai 2, verses 6 and 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Do you, beloved, feel the shaking of which Haggai speaks? It's not only begun, but has been going on since the time of Haggai's prophecy, and will go on until that time of which Hebrews speaks, when the things that can be shaken and are shaken, are finally destroyed completely. Perhaps you don't recognize that shaking. When you do, in fact, feel it. It's often the case, you know, that at least at the beginning of an earthquake, people don't recognize the fact that they're experiencing an earthquake. Perhaps even though you feel the shaking of which Haggai speaks, you don't recognize it as the fulfillment of Haggai's prophecy. And that's one of the reasons for looking at the Word of God here this morning. Word of God, which speaks of the shaking of all things. A shaking, as I said, that is going on even as we sit here this morning. And we'll go on until the desire of all nations comes. Comes again. A few things, first of all, about that shaking. Haggai is describing a quake. Even to call it an earthquake, because this quake is like no other. There isn't on no earthly instruments, on no seismographs, can't be measured on any scale like the Richter scale. It's a quake that is universal. And for that reason, especially, I hesitate to call it an earthquake. Because, as Haggai says, it shakes only earth, and the whole earth at that, but heaven itself. When that quake finally reaches its peak, we read that in Revelation 6, that even the stars will be shaken from their places, the Word of God says, like figs falling from a tree in the wind. But it's a quake, too, that shakes not just the whole earthly and heavenly creation, but a quake that shakes the lives and works and hearts and souls of men. Shakes the whole social order that men have established among themselves. The whole political order shakes the moral and spiritual life of man, such as it is. No quake like this one. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment. All the institutions, every aspect of man's life is affected by this great quake. The Word of God makes that clear in Haggai 2 when God speaks of shaking not only heaven and earth, sea and the dry land, but all nations. And then again, at the end of the chapter, where you read again of this shaking, speaks of wars as the result of this shaking. I will overthrow thrones, the throne of kingdoms, and the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. That's all part of this great shaking of which Haggai speaks. But what needs to be emphasized, especially as we talk about this shaking, is that it is the work, sovereign work of God Himself through Jesus Christ our Lord, and especially through the coming of Christ. In verses 6 and 7 of Haggai 2, the shaking is connected with the coming of the desire of all nations. And though there are some who disagree that that's a reference to Christ, it seems to me that you can hardly read the passage without thinking but you have to think of this shaking, if you think of it in connection with the coming of Christ, you have to think of it as the result of His coming. He doesn't come as a result of the shaking, but the shaking is the result of His coming. If you will, it's the shaking that's caused by His feet as He comes nearer and nearer. And you understand, I trust, that He is coming. And all the events of history and everything that happens in the creation, He is on the way. And the shaking is the result of His footsteps as He treads His way through history and through all the events that we experience towards that day when He will appear as the judge of the living and the dead. And that's the reason, too, we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment, but that's the reason why this earthquake continues and increases until the end. The shape actually. You can think of it too. That's the emphasis in Haggai 2 verse 6 as the work of God Himself. And then perhaps the picture that you need to have is God who holds the whole creation in His hands and the whole universe continually shaking it until finally, in His wrath, He shakes it to pieces. So that nothing, Hebrews 12 speaks of that, nothing is left of all that can be shaken. What a picture, isn't it, that Haggai draws for us here? Haggai speaks of yet once a little while. And the reference in Haggai is, first of all, to Christ's birth in Bethlehem. And to the shaking that accompanied His birth. Now there was, as far as we know, no physical earthquake that accompanied the birth of Christ. But there was a shaking of the nations that took place. I tell you, beloved, that it was this shaking of the nations that brought the shepherds and the wise men to Bethlehem. It was this shaking that Herod experienced when, in terror for his throne and his kingdom, he slaughtered the babies of Bethlehem. Perhaps you can even think of the song of the angels in terms of this shaking. Shaking the heavens themselves with their heavenly voices. But that was the beginning of Haggai. The fulfillment of Haggai's prophecy. Christ's birth in Bethlehem. And there especially it was, as God prophesied through Haggai, a shaking of nations. But there continues to be a fulfillment of this shaking. Yet once, but while, may never be understood as being entirely and completely fulfilled at the time of Christ's birth. And of course, Hebrews chapter 12 makes that clear. Tells us that the shaking is not finished. This word, yet once more, signifieth the things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And the reference there is to Christ's return at the end of the ages, and the great shaking of which we read in Revelation 6. But between Christ's first and second coming, that shaking continues. That's why there was an earthquake when Christ was crucified. God was saying, yet once more, I shake the heavens and the earth. Every earthquake is part of this shaking. The tremors, if you will, the great quake which Haggai prophesies. Not just those earthquakes which scientists tell us are increasing in intensity, frequency, as we would expect from the Word of God, but the shake-up we read about and hear about and see happening in the world of man. That's all part of the shaking. Changes that we would never have dreamed of in the social life of man, the decline of morality, the rise of lawlessness. Those are all part of the shaking. They don't just happen, but they are God, if you will, laying His hand on the life of mankind and shaking it, so that it begins to crack and crumble and go to pieces until there's nothing left even of common decency and good order in the life of mankind. Political changes. I don't know what the upcoming elections will bring. Only God knows that. And we can be thankful that He does. But as we've seen over the past years, the elections bring huge political change to our country and to our lives. And that's all part the coming of the desire of all nations and of God fulfilling His word here in Haggai. Preaching of the gospel in the New Testament was part of this shaking. God, if you will, shaking out of this world by the power of the gospel those who were His own. hearts and their lives. And I tell you, beloved, when God does His work of grace in you and in me, it is like a spiritual earthquake. Isn't it? Pentecost, where 3,000, by the power of the gospel, were shaken out of their unbelief and their complacency and brought by God's sovereign saving grace into the kingdom of Christ, into that kingdom that cannot be moved. And so it will be until the end. When, as Hebrews says, those things that can be shaken are utterly destroyed. When all the works of man crumble to nothing as a result of this great quake. When man's whole life here in the world is destroyed and ruined by God's shaking. And when the coming of Christ finally brings to an end all of this present order, Haggai saw that in his visions yet once more. You're in the middle of it, beloved, you and I. We feel it. See it. Experience it. Don't we? The result of that shaking will be, I've already talked a little bit about that, will be, to use the words of Hebrews, the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made. Go back to that figure, the thunder of Christ's footsteps. As He comes, the desire of all nations will destroy this present world and all that belongs to it. That almost unimaginably nothing is left. We often think of Christ coming in terms of fire. And that's biblical. But Revelation 6, when it speaks of the end and of what will happen at the end, speaks in terms of a great earthquake. Though it's not really an earthquake, but as Haggai says, the shaking of everything. Sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell unto the earth. The heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. Ever seen that? Something that's been rolled up tightly for a long time. You lay it up flat. Something knocks your hand away. And it rolls itself back up again. Heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together as a result of the shaking of all things. Every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And then, of course, the kings, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, All those who have said for so long that it won't happen. All those who don't see God's hand in the earthquakes that He sends, the first tremors of this great shaking, will be trying to hide from the face of Him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. But the picture that you have to have from the prophecy of Haggai and from these other passages is that it is already falling to pieces. And you must see, beloved, what's happening in the world around us, what the new year brings, and perhaps also the last few days of the old year. Not only as part of the shaking, but you must see in it that first result of the shaking, the removing of those things that are shaken. And you have to see that too, because involved in the removing of those things is much that belongs to your life and mine. There won't be anything left of this when that shaking is finished. My house will be dust when God has finished His work of shaking heaven and earth, the sea, the dry land, and all nations. Much that belongs to your life in this world will be removed, as Hebrews says. Nothing left of the commerce, the work that you're engaged in every day. And all because God is bringing to pass what He says here in the prophecy of Haggai. This word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken. The result, and that's where we see why this word is such an important word for God's people. The other result is that when the shaking is finished, that's Hebrews, those things which cannot be shaken remain. As though God shakes all the rest to pieces to show that there are some things that cannot be affected by this great shaking. You know what they are? Things that cannot be shaken. It's not your present life here in the world. There won't be anything left of that when this shaking is finished. But it's the work of God's grace in you and in me. His covenantal work of making us His own by the blood of the cross and by His Holy Spirit. That's built on the foundation of His eternal purpose. Can't be shaken. It's built on the blood of His only begotten Son. Can't be shaken. It's the work of His own Spirit and grace in our hearts and lives. And no shaking can affect it. And that's where the comfort lies in this too. The Word of God here says to God's people, to you and to me, that this shaking, as awful as it is, cannot shake us out of the kingdom of God, or out of the hands of God Almighty, or out of the fellowship of Jesus Christ, our Savior. The end result of it, according to Hebrews 12, verse 28, which quotes Haggai's prophecy, is that we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved. First of all, when God establishes the throne of His kingdom in our hearts. And then finally, when that kingdom comes in all of its final and eternal glory. So though the prophecy is from one point of view terrible, in the true sense of that word, it's nevertheless a word of comfort to God's people. And it's with the assurance that those things which cannot be shaken will remain. Even through the events of the last days when the stars fall from their places. It's with that assurance that you must go into the new year with whatever it brings. And though we don't know what the new year will bring in detail, we know this, that the shaking will continue and increase until finally all that we have now, all that we have now, this whole world in which we live, is removed. But that has some application to us too, and Hebrews is very careful when it quotes this prophecy to make that application. Let us have grace. With reverence and God fear. You might say that's Hebrews' answer to the question of Revelation 6. Think again in terms of this great quake of what Revelation says. Who shall be able to stand? When the powers of heaven are shaken, when the whole universe is shaken, when the whole life of man in this world is shaken by the mighty hand of God as He comes in judgment. Who shall be able to stand? Hebrews says, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And the reference is especially to the Word of God and the preaching of that Word as means of grace. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. The Word of God, prayerful study of the Word of God, prayerful hearing of the Word of God preached. That's the way in which we have the grace that enables us to stand through that shaking. Amazing, isn't it? That when kingdoms and nations are destroyed, when all the works of man come to nothing, God's people, through it all, still stand. But only, of course, by grace. That's one application. But there's this too. That goes back to the reference in our text to Christ as the desire of the nations. He must be, as David said, all your joy and all your desire. Not this. Because this is already cracking, crumbling, falling to pieces? And what good is it then to set your hearts on such? He must be not only the desire of the nations, but yours and mine. And that means too, of course, that like the saints in Haggai's day, we focus on Him. He is the one in whom we put all our confidence, all our trust, the one in whom we find all our hope and all of our peace. No other, nothing else but Him. And then, of course, it really doesn't make any difference, does it? What the new year brings. Does it make any difference if we live? Or if we die? If we die, we'll only see Him the sooner. But if we live, then the year will only bring us each day and each week that much closer to His coming as the desire of the nations. And what we'll be hearing in all that happens is the sound of His footsteps as He comes to take us to Himself. Give us the place that He's promised us in that kingdom that can't be moved. Change and decay and all around I see. O Thou that changest not, abide. Father, we thank You.